The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This morning about life more abundant. Not just life, but abundant life. Every once in a while, you hear somebody say, is so-and-so saved? Do you know if so-and-so is saved or not? It had never have to be spoken that way by anybody among us.
Amen.
I just wish that every one of us could be manifesting the fruits of the Spirit in abundance and manifesting the joy of the Lord in a great measure. So no one ever asked if we were saved or not. They could just tell it by being where we were. Now that's the kind of living that I want us all to be reaching out for. God forbid that none of us would ever be satisfied with just living, but with abundant living. God would have His children fibered with you. Just full of vim, vigor, and vitality in the inner man. The inward man never is to get old anyway. The outward man perishes, the Bible says, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And we should always keep that inward man renewed. Keep him fresh. Keep him young. Keep him filled with ambition toward the things of God. Living more abundantly. The good news that I bring you this morning is that God has full and complete victory for every child He has. Of grace to enable every one of us to meet every problem we have and overcome it by the grace of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, in verse 14, he says, thanks be unto God who always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Now the good news I bring you is that you need never take a beating. If you just trust in God, commit yourself to Him, and live by faith, you need never take a beating. He causeth us always to triumph in Christ. Triumphant living. Triumphant faith. Victorious living. Paul said again in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God has victory for every one of His children. And there isn't any such thing as God not having victory for any one of His children. There isn't any such thing as things getting out of hand with God. Things getting so far that he can't handle it. Can't do anything with it. God can handle every situation if we can just get it in his hands. If he can get a hold of it. Now, God is able to fill you and me with just the vibrancy of youth in our souls, all the water that I shall give him. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Again he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which was not yet given, because Christ had not yet been glorified. But he's given now, and as we drink of that Spirit, rivers of living water are to flow out of our being. Not just a little stream, and not something that's easy to control, but a river. You can't stop a river. You can't do anything with a river. They dam up rivers, but they have to provide a spillway for the excess water to go through, or else it'll wash the dam out. You just can't stop a river. And if you and I are drinking of that Spirit, the Spirit of God, the outflow of that cannot be stopped. It can't be hindered. It just flow right on anyway. An abundance of living water, rivers of living water. I heard about a man. He was a Christian man. And he met another Christian brother on the street one morning. He said, "Good morning, brother. How are you this morning?" The other said, "Oh, all right, I think, under the circumstances." The first says, "And what are you doing under the circumstances?" God doesn't want you and me getting down under our circumstances. He wants us rising above them. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. I'm not a spiritual defeatist. I'm preaching victory through Christ, and there's victory for every one of God's children through the abundance of His grace if we'll just go down and get it.
Amen.
Yes. I knew a woman. She was at the point of death, but before she died, there was a number of hours, seemed to me like maybe a couple of days next, that she just lay in a deep coma. She never responded to anything, never twitched an eye, never moved a muscle, never responded to anything. But we couldn't call the undertaker and have her taken away and prepared to make ready for her funeral because she was still breathing. Now she had some life there, but for all practical purposes, she was dead. Sometimes there are souls like that, but that is God's will that souls be like that. That's the kind of souls that people have to inquire, are they saved? Do you know if so-and-so's saved? You just have to watch them real close to discern that they're still breathing. That isn't what Jesus brought to you and me. He said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Let every one of us be reaching out in our souls for a more abundant life. Tell no one who knows us or has any association with us will ever have to ask, "Is that brother saved? Or is that sister saved?" They'll know by the manifestations of divine grace and the outflow of joy and the river of life flowing out of their soul that they're saved without any question. They'll know that. The Apostle Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Now, folks, that's your question and mine. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, as you survey this, as you take an inventory of people and conditions that affect you or might affect you. And you come up against anything that makes you feel a little careless. Be a good thing to just stop right there and work on that till you whip that. And you can feel confident in that too. Now, he goes ahead here. He names a whole catalog of things that none of us would choose. Tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. We wouldn't choose any of those things, would we? All of those things are bad. They're distasteful. And they are destructive. We wouldn't choose any of them. But he said, shall any of these things separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Now, Opal had a little thought like this. She said, the Bible said to agree with your adversary quickly while you're in the way with him. And she said she had learned to think of the devil as her adversary. And that she'd just agree with him. That the devil would come to her and say, now this might happen. She'd say, yes, that might happen. Good. Well, but so and so, that might develop. Yes, it might. It could. Well, if so and so, then what would you do? She said, I'd trust God just like I am now. And she'd get the victory over it. She said that she just sat down and agreed with her adversary and the things that he suggested to her mind. This could happen or that might happen. And she never tried to rule it out. She just considered, yes, it might happen. That might come to pass. But she dealt with it right there. Because she got the victory over it and didn't feel timorous about it. I just trust God if that happened, just like I'm trusting God now. And let him take care of all of those things. Now, Paul's answer to this is nay. None of these things will separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But what? But in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Yes, Lord.
In. That's the key word here. In. All of these things. It isn't a matter of being delivered out of a thing. It's a matter of getting the victory in the thing. The thing's still there. Now, if the Apostle Paul would have been a man that had to be delivered out of all of his tribulations and troubles in order to have the victory, he'd have died without it. Because his troubles in the flesh and his tribulations and his persecutions followed him right on down to the day of his death, and he died a martyr's death. But he learned to have the victory right in those things, with those things going on all around him. And him walking right in the midst of all those things. And with the Holy Ghost bearing witness to him that in every place he went, more of the same is all that he had to look forward to. Bonds and afflictions awaited him everywhere. He just learned to have the victory right in the midst of all those things, just walking right on in them. It wasn't a matter of being delivered out of them or from them at all. Just getting a hold on God and exercising a faith toward God, that right in the midst of all these things, he could have the victory. In the midst of these things, more than conquerors. Now, when the children of Israel cross the River Jordan, and the first thing that they encountered was a great walled city over there, Jericho. God told them just how to maneuver and just what to do in order to take that city. He told them to march around the city one time each day, for 6 days. The whole company of them march around the city. The priest going ahead, carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Then on the seventh day, they were to march around 7 times. Then the priest was to blow the ram's horn. All right, they got out there, and no doubt it looked kind of foolish to them. But it looked more foolish to the folks in that city. Nobody making any attack, nobody bothering anyway, just out there marching around the city. The seventh day, they marched around 7 times, and there wasn't a crack in the wall. Everything was still standing intact. It's about time to get discouraged now. Looks like nothing's going to happen. All this marching's been in vain. Nothing showing up here to indicate any taking of this city. But the priest was to blow the ram's horn, and he blew it. No crack in the wall yet. Everything still standing, complete and intact. No sign of any break anywhere. But after the priest blew the ram's horn, all the people were to shout. What? To shout about. The walls are still up there. There's no evident token of anything that God's going to do here. And we don't have anything to shout about. We're kind of in a bunch of grubs now. But God had set forth in the shout. So they all shouted, and down came the wall.
Praise the Lord.
Shouted them down. They didn't have to attack there at all. They just shouted the walls down. Folks, did you know you can shout some things down that you can't pray down? I say that God is not a person to get something for nothing. You just start praising God, and He'll give you something to praise Him for. When you and I get a grace and a victory in our souls that we can shout with the walls still standing, we'll see some walls fall that we haven't seen fall yet. We'll see some victories that we haven't experienced yet. Shout with the walls still standing. That they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. One brother that was in very severe suffering and pain, he was praying and looking earnestly to God to deliver him and heal him. And the Lord told him, says, praise the Lord. Well, he didn't see anything to praise the Lord for yet. He was suffering just as much as he had been. So he continued to pray, and the Lord spoke to him again and said, praise the Lord. Well, still he didn't get a hold of it, and he just continued to pray. The pain was still on him. The Lord spoke to him a third time and said, praise the Lord. And he did. He just opened his mouth and said, praise the Lord, and every pain went right out of his body.
Thank you, Lord.
Shouted it down. Couldn't pray the pain out of his body, out of his body. Shout from the wall still standing. That kind of victory, that kind of grace. Oh, God, help you and me that we'll not be so much affected by the things that happen to us in life. The things that go wrong. The things that disappoint us. Things that would crush our spirit, that we'll not be crushed. But by divine grace and faith in our souls, we can reach up from the depth and hang on to God's promise and be lifted up above the things that would crush the life out of us.
Bless the Lord.
More than conquerors. I thought like this. You take an engineer that designs a bridge on a highway. And in his calculations, he'll take into consideration everything that could possibly affect that bridge in any kind of way. He'll take into consideration air pressure, wind velocity. He'll take into consideration the calculated traffic, an estimated weight that's going to go over that bridge. And everything that could possibly affect it in any way. And he will design the bridge according to all those calculations. He will determine the thickness of the deck, the amount of reinforcing that will have to go into the deck, the consistency of the material that goes into the deck, how many piers is going to have to be under it, how far apart they can be, what size they'll have to be, how much reinforcing will go into them, and so on. Then when the bridge is built, they'll post a load limit sign. But that load limit sign involves all the calculations that this engineer has calculated, plus a considerable percentage of safety factors. Actually, considerably more could go over that bridge than it's posted for without it buckling and breaking down. They figured in a safety factor. Now the God that wrote the New Testament, that set the standard of Christian living, is the same God that provided the economy of grace. God's grace fits to the principles and teachings in His New Testament, just like a glove fits to the fingers on the hand. And when His grace is sufficient, it means that His grace is sufficient to enable every child He's got to live up to the full measure of the standard of every principle of truth taught in the New Testament. This isn't out of this world experience at all. We can reach every principle of truth, the standard set by it in the New Testament, by divine grace. But now, the God that set this all up, He knows us. He made us. He knows what makes us tick. He knows just how we react to everything. And what will affect the human nature of a person? He knows humanity because He made it. All right? Now He knew just how it would affect a person to be hated of all men. He told the disciples that will happen to you. He knew just how that would affect person. To have people in his own household to be the foe of his soul. And rise right up in opposition against him. He knew how that would affect a person. He knew the natural pull that the material things of earth and of this material world would have on the natural man. About an individual. He knew how it would affect us to suffer. And to suffer unjustly. Not many people react very joyfully to that. But he knew just how that would affect us. He knew how the breaking of human ties would affect us. And when death takes our loved ones, he knew just how that would affect us. And how human nature would react to all of that. Everything that could possibly happen to you and me as human beings in this world, he knew just exactly how that would affect us.
Praise the Lord.
He made us see. He knows what we will react to and how we will naturally react to it. Now the God that set up the economy of grace took all of this into consideration in his calculation. Everything that could possibly happen to you and me as human beings in this world, then he struck a total. Then he added on a considerable percentage of safety factor over and above that. Then he set up the provision of divine grace on that basis, so that when the world and the devil have done their worst to us, we can still take some more and not break down. More than conquerors. Abundantly. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Folks, let's shake out of this weakened condition in which many are living. And lay hold upon the bountiful, abundant provisions that God has made for us in his grace. And the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 8, it says, and God is able. Now you know what it means to be able, do you not? Able to do this, able to handle that. Able in any capacity means you're sufficient for that. God is sufficient then for this need. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God.
Praise the Lord.
Can you think of anything more abundant than that? Can you think of anything that would go beyond that? Folks, the good news I bring you today is that you don't have to be overcome by anything. You don't need to be cast down by anything. You don't need to have your faith and your spiritual life and vibrancy nullified by anything that can happen to you in life. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now that word abound is defined. I have something here somewhere. giving some definitions on this abounding. Abound is to be in great plenty, to be copiously supplied. Abundance is an overflowing fullness. Great plenty. Abundant, overflowing, more than sufficient, plentiful. And there's an old rundown of this word and its synonyms here, all signifying great plenty, more than sufficient, more than is necessary for the need. God's word says that He giveth more grace. Anytime we run into any kind of a situation where we need more grace than what we have, let us remember there's more where that comes from that we already have.
Amen.
And just humble our hearts and go down and get more. And if you need still more, there's more there yet. God has a throne of grace that invites us to come boldly to it.
Praise the Lord.
Now He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency. Folks, Jesus had it set up so that you and I could be sufficient for every situation and condition that can possibly face us as human beings in our human realm here in this world. Having all sufficiency in all things. Always having all sufficiency. Now, always means constant, without variation. We can always, constantly, oh God help us realize we don't have to be up and down.
Amen.
We don't have to be in and out.
We
can have an experience, a relationship with God, a hold on Him, a degree of faith, and a degree of grace that will hold us right on the even keel, always, without variation, constant. You take a gasoline engine that has a governor on it. A lawnmower, I think, is a good example. And it has a governor on that engine. And I used to notice, and I think about this tax, when I was mowing down there at Pecoma. There was a large area to mow there. And some parts of it didn't have very thick growth on it. Other parts were real thick, real tough. But I could walk through there where it wasn't so thick, and the engine just kind of idling along, and I'd run into one of those thick spots, and that engine would just kind of stutter a time or two, and that governor would go up and throw some more fuel in there and walk right on through that. Just like I've been walking through this fence. God's got His grace set up so that when things are going well with us and we're not needing an abundance of grace, we can go along smoothly. But when you run suddenly into the pressure and a severe test, a trial comes upon you, a steep grade decline. Just open your heart before God, the governor opens up, more grace blows in, and you just go right on through that, just like you've been going through those smooth experiences. Always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Folks, this is full and complete.
Praise the Lord.
Being enriched in everything. The grace of God will permeate every phase and area of our lives. And His faith will affect us in every situation and condition of life. Thanks be to God who given us the victory, but He said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And by faith in Christ, and humility of heart, and the abundance of grace flowing into our souls, we can meet everything the world has to offer, and whip it, and rise above it, and overcome it. Have the victory. This is the victory. Let me close at this point. Like I said in the opening remarks of this little message, that I'm not a spiritual defeatist. I'm preaching victory through Christ.
Praise the Lord.
And I believe in victory. I believe in God's children having the victory. So no one will have to ask whether you're saved or not. And I believe in us possessing the abundance of divine grace in our souls. You see, God has this kind of victory for us that we can have victory regardless of what's happening to us, what our circumstances are. People won't have to be carrying us high and patting us on the back and praising us for us to have the victory. They can spit in your face and you can still have the victory. They can slap you on the one cheek and you can still turn the other and be feeling good in your soul. Right on through.
Praise the Lord.
That kind of victory. Don't be like the fellow that was boasting himself that, and he was feeling satisfied with himself. People had grossly mistreated him, but he said, I never retaliated. And I never said a word back. I just laid down and took it. But he said, I was just standing up on the inside. But he didn't have all that victory what he thought he had, did he? God can provide you and me with victory to lay down on the inside, too.
Thank the Lord.
Not murmur, not complain in our hearts, in our minds. Lay down on the inside, just like we do on the outside. Turn the other cheek, give the cloak with the coat, go the second mile, and feel good in your soul.
Praise the Lord.
While you're doing it.